John Landecker's Pick and Pool with Paul Papst. Hey, Paul, I hear you're in South Bend at a hockey game.
Yeah, I was just at Notre Dame St. Lawrence hockey. They won 8-2. Spoiler, in case you were taping it. But we're here with the Dan Patrick Show. We did a show today. We had Coach Freeman on from Notre Dame. We're here tomorrow, and then staying for the weekend. I'm going to see Notre Dame hosting USC. Great venue.
Notre Dame's got a pretty strong hockey program, don't they?
It's a gorgeous place. I mean, I've never been to the hockey stadium. It's right about two blocks away from the football stadium, and it's really gorgeous inside. And they've got the gold helmets just like the football team. It's a great crowd.
So obviously, Paul has a side gig, a side hustle, if you will, working for Dan Patrick. Yeah. So what are we going to do with these football picks? So there's a game going on tonight, and Eli and I were talking earlier about whether we pick the game, we include the Thursday night game or not. What do you think?
I think we do. I think we have to trust ourselves.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we all would have picked the Steelers to win. If I would believe you because I trust you. But let's all assume we were going to pick the Steelers to win and we stick with that.
Would that be true, Eli?
I would agree with that as well. Okay. And this is our last chance to even submit the picks as they're getting close to halftime there. So I'd say we just beat the buzzer on that pick there. But before we get any further, why don't we do a little update in the standings?
Yes, let's do that.
See how things are going because last week – when I made the picks, I said I was going to be a little bit different to try to shake things up in the standings. And boy, the standings were shaken up a little bit. So in first place for this week, Paul, you came in at an 11-3 record over 14 games. John, you were not far behind at all, going 10-4.
My goodness.
And when I say I shook up the standings, I did it in a horrible way for myself. I went 7-7 this week, which brings me four games back off the lead and two games out of second place. But I feel confident about my picks this week, so maybe I'll bring it back around.
Well, it's only week seven. There's still a lot of football to be played, as they say.
A lot of game left.
A lot of game.
Yeah, so, you tried to be a little gutsy last week, and gutsy can get you burned.
Yeah, that's right. I might have to give up that hope I have in Justin Fields and the Jets, but if it means to save my picks, I'll have to do it.
Man. Okay, let us move along then. You're running the show there, Eli. Let's go to Sunday football.
Yeah, so we already got that Thursday game out of the way. So we have another international game in London. We have the LA Rams taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, both teams at 4-2. Paul, we'll start with you.
John, I got to tell you, I like to sleep in on Sundays. And
no
as much
kidding.
As I like football,
I
don't need football at 9:30 or in Chicago, 8:30 in the morning. Yeah. It's good maybe twice a year. They don't know what they're getting over there. We could send over some like junior college teams. I'm still going to take the Rams outright, though.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Not necessarily about the Rams, although I'll take them. But I mean, another game overseas. Are the ratings for those games that good that they would continue to do it? Or I mean,
well,
they must be making
the
money
NFL,
off of it somehow.
The NFL decided years ago they're going to try to expand the game because it's the only game in America that doesn't really play other places. You know, basketball plays all over. Baseball plays in a lot of places.
Right.
And they're never going to have a Super Bowl in London. I don't think they're ever going to do that or have a team in London. So their fixes have eight games a year or more in Brazil and Mexico City and in lots of places in Europe. And I think it's working for them, but I don't think it serves the home fans that well.
All right, let's move along. What do we got next?
I've got the Jags on that one. I will say I do watch those games because I'm here for Dean Richards on Sunday morning, so it gives us a little extra talking points on those days. But keeping things along, finally they play on noon. The 3-2 Chicago Bears are hosting the New Orleans Saints. John, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm taking the Bears, especially after this last week.
Yeah, this is one of those games where you hope that the Saints don't have their best game of the year against the Bears because the Bears should handle them. I would say the Bears by at least 10 points.
Yeah, avoid the trap game. I've got the Bears as well. Now we have 2-1-5 teams facing each other in what's looking like a big storm's headed towards Cleveland. We have Miami and Cleveland. Who wants this game?
Well, you know what? Since it's at Cleveland, I'll take Cleveland.
I think the storm's going to win this one. I don't think either teams win. Now, I'm going to pick the Dolphins because they're desperate.
I've got the Browns in that one just because they're the home team as well, John. I don't have a whole lot of other reasoning behind that. We have the 2-4 Las Vegas Raiders visiting the 3-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Paul, over to you.
Yeah, Chiefs should handle this. They're back in stride. They're getting Rashee Rice, their wide receiver, back. All should be well. I can see the Chiefs winning like 7 or 8 in a row now that they're hot again.
Well, I'm certainly taking Kansas City.
I'm riding that wave as well. They got all their pieces back, and what would the NFL be without these Kansas City Chiefs right now? They need them. We have a nice NFC showdown where the Philadelphia Eagles at 4-2 are facing the Minnesota Vikings at 3-2. John, who you got?
Well, I guess I'll take Philadelphia, although I'm not like enthusiastic about it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, John. Like, the point spread is only Philadelphia giving 1.5. They've cooled off a little. The Vikings are rested. Oh, I think I'm going to regret this. I'm going to pick the Vikings for fun.
Paul, I'm right there with you. I was on the fence with this. I'm going with the Vikings as well. Maybe J.J. McCarthy comes back and has a nice game for the Vikings. We have the 3-3 Panthers, who just had a win over the Dallas Cowboys, taking on the still winless New York Jets coming home from a London trip.
Well,
the Jets are brutal.
They're going to stay winless.
They can't score. Yeah, they're probably going to stay winless. The Panthers are actually picking up a little bit of steam. The point spread's only Carolina by 1.5, but I think the Panthers are going to handle this one.
We're all in agreement on that. And we have the 4-2 New England Patriots in first place in the AFC East, taking on the 1-5 Tennessee Titans, who are now without their head coach, Brian Callahan. And John, I'll start with you.
I'm going with the New England Patriots, who are like surprising a lot of people.
Yeah, the Patriots look really good. I think they could be 5-1 instead of 4-2. They had some fumbles early in the season. They got this week against the Titans, next week against the Browns. They're going to be 6-2 in a couple weeks.
Big time for the Patriots. We're all going with them. And we have Scataboo season is in full effect. The New York Giants are visiting the 4-2 Denver Broncos. John, you're excited for this one.
Well, as much as I like Cam Scataboo, I still have to go with the Broncos, unfortunately. He's great, but the team's not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think on the road against the Broncos.
Nah.
The Broncos have cooled off a little bit lately, but I think they're going to be fine.
These are two teams I said I would stop picking against last week, and now they're playing each other, but I'm going to go with the Broncos as well. We go from one interesting matchup to another really good matchup in the AFC. We have the Indianapolis Colts at 5-1, taking on the LA Chargers at 4-2. Going to be a lot going down out in SoFi Stadium. Paul, over to you.
This is probably the toughest pick of the week because the Colts have been hot and they haven't shown any reason to cool off. The Chargers have had some missteps and they could be 3-3 right now. They got a little lucky last week. I'm going to go with the Colts to stay hot.
You know, I was going to pick the I was going to go with the Chargers until earlier today, and I'm like, no, they're 4-2. The Colts are 5-1. It's a little surprising. Go with the Colts. So I will.
This is just one of those games where I close my eyes and flip a coin because I didn't have one on hand. So I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts as well. This was the hardest pick I had to make all day. It was still blank on my sheet up until right now.
Let's take a break and do more when we come back on 720 WGN. John Landecker in the midst of the John Landecker Pick'em Pool with Paul Pabst and Eli Burke. Are you permanently, are you permanent now, Eli, on this show? Or
I don't know what the schedule with Jack is just yet, but I'm basically here whenever he's not.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Jack's out doing his hockey thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's his, what? He went to school and he wants to do that. So he should go do that. And we're with Paul Pabst, who's the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show. So, Paul, is this what you wanted to do when you went to... through your educational process? This is what you wanted to do afterwards?
Yeah, I would say before my educational process. I think I mentioned this the first time I was on. I grew up on Chicago radio. Honestly, John, not to pander, but you and Larry Lujack and Stephen Gary and Jonathan Brandmeier and Kevin Matthews and Les Grobstein and
so on and so forth.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I used to listen to all you guys growing up, and I was like, this is the best. And I love doing TV and writing and stuff like that, but radio is still the best. It's the most personal connection. It's the most freewheeling style. It's a tightrope. And I used to listen to, you know, Animal Stories with Larry Lujack when I was, you know, 9 years old, and I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard. And then I heard the bits you were doing back then, and I'm like, these guys are geniuses, and they have room to breathe and talk. And then I kind of fell for guys like David Letterman and on TV. But anyone of that ilk that has smart, snarky, fun humor, and that's the kind of stuff I like.
Well, as you know, snarky is my middle name. Where are we in the midst of all of this, Eli? Where are we in the picks in the pool?
We have just 5 games left in this week to pick. We will get right back going. We have the 3-1-1 Green Bay Packers going out west to the Arizona Cardinals. And John, we'll start with you.
Well, don't like the Packers much, but I'll have to pick them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think the Packers are doing fine, and the Cardinals are just brutal. They've had some games where they're staying in it. Jacoby Brissett, their backup quarterback, still playing. He's pretty good, so he keeps them in things.
I've got Green Bay handling that one as well. A very interesting divisional battle after the Commanders lost on Monday night. They now visit the Dallas Cowboys, who have a 2-3-1 record. Both teams coming off a loss there. Paul, we'll start with you.
I don't like the Cowboys at all. I don't like the way they're playing. Their defense is a sieve. They score a lot of points on offense. I'm going against the Cowboys.
You know, both of these are victims of the Chicago Bear football machine.
You know
this
it.
Season. Yeah. So, two losers facing off against each other. I guess since the Bears beat the Commanders most recently, I'll go with Washington.
I've got Dallas in that one. I just think that's going to come down to quarterback play, and right now Dak just might be playing a slightly better game at home. That could be one that easily come back and bite me. I did pick Dallas last week as well, but we live and learn. On Sunday Night Football, we have the Atlanta Falcons, who had 3-2, taking on the San Francisco 49ers at 4-2. Niners going through a whole lot of change with that roster. Paul, is it good enough to pick them?
No, I don't think that. I think the Niners had the best month of their season. There's too many. Fred Warner, their star linebacker, is hurt. Mac Jones has cooled off a little bit. They've got so many injuries. And the opposite, Atlanta's starting to hit their stride a little bit with that offense.
Yeah. I'll take Atlanta, too.
I think we are all going with the Falcons after that big win last Monday night. And now we head to another Monday night doubleheader. What could be the game of the week with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. That one will be in Detroit. John, we'll start with you.
Well, I got to tell you, I just got to say right now that this whole Baker Mayfield thing is one of the coolest things. Baker Mayfield and Cam Katabu are the two coolest things in the NFL this year. Now, having said that, going to Detroit, wouldn't it be great if I'm sure Detroit Lions fans aren't going to like this, but wouldn't it be great if Baker Mayfield did pull? I would think it'd be an upset. I think it'd be looked at as an upset if the Buccaneers beat the Lions, so I'm going to take the Lions.
But so the Lions lose last week. I think they got jobbed by the refs a little bit, the Lions, and they're going to be pretty upset. I think they could have beaten the Chiefs. It's hard to picture the Lions losing at home, especially after last week. They usually right the ship. Stay with this game until the end, because if Baker Mayfield's down two touchdowns to start the fourth quarter, he'll still figure out a way. As a Bears fan, I think you have to be rooting for Baker Mayfield to take them down and help the Bears in the division. I will pick the Lions, but I also agree with you. Baker Mayfield, he's got a really decent chance to win the MVP this year.
What happened to him? How did this occur? I mean, they're 5-1.
He gets drafted out of Oklahoma number one. He plays some pretty good football for the Cleveland Browns. And then he got hurt. And his fourth year in Cleveland, he was just down a little bit because he had a bum shoulder. They decide not to sign him. They let him go. He goes to Carolina. He goes to the Rams. He finally ends up in Tampa and he rights his ship. Now he's a great quarterback. But they passed on him. They could have given him one of those mid-level contracts, like $100 million for 3 years, which doesn't sound cheap, but it actually is cheap.
Wow.
And instead, they got rid of Baker Mayfield, and they signed Deshaun Watson to one of the worst deals in NFL history. Yeah. And Watson has been bad on the field, bad off the field, and really expensive. That's a bad combo.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I do like watching Baker Mayfield, but I still feel the Lions are got a little too much, especially in Detroit. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you.
For the past 3 weeks, I've kept saying always bet on Baker, and it hasn't done me dirty yet, so I'm going to ride with it again. I've got the Bucks in that one to go 6-1. Finally, wrapping up the Week 7 slate in Seattle, we have the Houston Texans taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Paul, over to you.
Seahawks have been really clean this year, really good. Sam Darnold's doing fine. Their defense is good enough. Wide receiver's great. The Texans are getting a little better. They started real slow, but they just don't feel great this year. Seattle's feel real steady. I'm going Seattle.
I shall also take Seattle. Thank you.
It is a sweep for the Seahawks to close out Week 7. We're all going with the Seahawks there.
So, as you say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a great list. I just want to tell you, John, I got a big weekend ahead of me, so your boy might be banged up next week. I'm tailgating on Saturday for Notre Dame USC, turning around, going right back to Chicago Sunday morning. to tailgate and go to the Bears Saints game. So by Sunday night, I'm probably going to be about 12 pounds heavier and, you know, not in great shape. Not in great shape. I can't lie to you.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a really great way to spend a weekend, if you ask me.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. And I want to thank you for taking time from your Dan Patrick responsibility, since you guys are now over there in South Bend doing shows at Notre Dame. I appreciate you taking time and coming on with us tonight.
Anytime I could help the station or your show, John, I'm always there.
Thanks. Thank you. That's Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, and that's Eli Burke over there, who's producing the John Landecker Show, and I'm John Landecker, who still has COVID.